Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app. And on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out.
Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this draft review Bears Monday. With open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching our show and all the shows here at ESPN Chicago. And Cap, the draft is done finally. Finally, we finally made it to the draft. And Ryan Poles did a heck of a job trying to be able to fill the holes on this depth chart.
I love what Ryan Poles did in taking a long-term approach and saying, I am going to get the best player on my board every single time. He locked in on Darnell Wright, who I heard with Waddle and Sylvie the other day, and I was in the car driving with my son, and we're listening to this, and I fell in love with that kid. He was glib. He was excited. I think it was a great pick. And then look at the rest of his picks. Did not address the edge rusher, which we desperately need, because it wasn't the best player on his board. He's got draft capital for next year. He got a stud running back out of Texas. He got a corner that they desperately need. No more excuses for the offensive side of the football for the quarterback.
We know that we really look forward to the draft because it feels new. It feels fresh for your team. It doesn't matter if your team is bad like the Bears or at the top of the mountain like Kansas City. What it comes down to is that you want to see new. You want to see an infusion of new athletes and players that could help you for the future. And so when it comes to Darnell Wright, if you weren't with us on Friday, we had a deep dive and talked about Darnell Wright, and Cap and I are on the same page. When you have to be able to protect your biggest asset in Justin Fields, you get Darnell Wright, and he is as nasty as they come at the offensive tackle. I look forward to seeing him for a long time in a Chicago Bears uniform. From there, we get to Gervon Dexter, the senior the defensive tackle from Florida. So a two-year starter, second effort relentlessness when it comes to him. And I really like that they were able to pick him up, because one thing for sure, Cap, it's one thing to draft someone. To me, it's about versatility at the position. He can play a one or a three technique. He has experience in both. And so besides the numbers, you like the idea that he could do several things. Dexter, to me, as big a pick for the Bears as Darnell Wright. You need to show up something defensively on that line. Hopefully Dexter can fill the bill.
Yeah, Gervon Dexter is a kid. Ryan Poles, I think, saw some of the backlash from some of the analysts who were saying...
You had it right.
Yeah.
A lot of analysts out there.
Analysts is exactly right. There were some of them out there, I don't like the Gervon Dexter pick. He didn't do this, he didn't do that. And Ryan said, hang on a second. The way we're going to use him is going to be different than the way he was used down in the SEC. And he fits. His skill set, his size, his athleticism. I think he ran the fourth fastest time for a guy his size since 06.
Yeah.
He's got the skill level. Now they got to teach him to play the way they want him to play. Look, this is a long... Anybody that thinks they fixed everything that ails this team is wrong. They didn't. Ryan is taking the slow approach because he's trying to build it for sustained success, not, oh, pop up, see you later. No, he's trying to put something in play. Look how young, look how long, look how strong he is starting to add players, like you mentioned Gervon Dexter, the running back out of Texas. Give Yurk credit. He said last week, take the backup at Texas. Don't draft Bijan too high, not enough value, take the backup. Bam! Bears got him.
So along with the defensive tackle in the second round, the Bears also in the round two get Tyreek Stevenson, a corner from Miami. He's a third-team all-ACC player, an aggressive corner, solid ability. And so I like that the Bears are shoring up the secondary. From there, you have Zach Pickens. Did a really extensive deep dive into Pickens, Cap, the other night. Defensive tackle from South Carolina. This is a guy that we're going to be talking about. Because here's a guy here at his size, very, very fast. So when we look at Dexter Stevenson, the corner, and Pickens, the defensive tackle, again, because the defense was so bad last year, you need to be able to have young guys in there that can make a difference. I think Pickens could be one of those guys. You mentioned several times this running back from Texas and Johnson, Rashawn Johnson. Okay, so he was never considered the number one back with Texas. There's a reason for it. He was a dual-threat quarterback in high school, as a matter of fact. And so when you talk about being a runner, a receiver, a blocker, a tackler, very good on special teams, I think that he's a guy that is really good for this depth chart. I read through ourlads.com some thoughts about Johnson, and the quote was, he's yoked from head to toe. So apparently Our Lads enjoys the body of Roshan Johnson.
Yeah, and it's nice to have a yoked guy in our backfield. Yeah. Look, I think they got much better offensively. I don't think you can look at that team and don't feel like, hey, offensively, they look a lot better. They're not where they need to be yet. Better. Now, it's going to take Darnold Wright a little time. He's a rookie. But I like what I'm seeing offensively. Defensively? Still going to be a long way away. He did nothing to improve the pass rush. They got better on the interior. They got another corner. Now you got to get some edge play. I think he'll sign a veteran, Yannick Ngakoue, Jadeveon Clowney, guys like that on one-year deals. So it helps. I don't think it fixes everything. We saw 2 years ago they were a bad team when they fired everybody. Robert Quinn set the record for sacks. So it's going to be a group effort, but I like offensively that they're getting better and they're getting younger.
Yeah, I don't agree that the Bears didn't do enough to try to help themselves defensively, and here's why. Like Dexter a lot. Again, there's nothing wrong with trying to get more guys in the secondary. I mean, I don't know if Terrell Smith, the cornerback from Minnesota, is even going to be on the team, but he's a fifth-round draft pick. And same thing with Stevenson we talked about. But I think that Zach Pickens is going to be a guy that we're going to keep our eyes on as a third-round pick. And I'll also say something about Sewell, Noah Sewell, the linebacker from Oregon. So here's a second-team All-Big 12 player. He's a three-year starter, aggressive, physical in the middle, tackles close to the line into the backfield, and is fast enough to be able to get after scrambling quarterbacks. I think that for a guy that – a name that we know in Sewell, I trust the pedigree in that situation. Now, again, doesn't mean that all these guys are going to be able to flourish, Cap, but I think that for the most part, I think that the Bears rang the bell and being able to fill the needs on this depth chart. I think that they had a good balance of offense and defense in this draft. I think they did a really good job of that. The running back at the fourth round pick with Johnson, we'll see. But I think that he had a good balance on both sides of the football. But what does that really mean? I think ultimately it comes down to this. So these picks that were made, some are over the top about what the Bears were able to do in the draft. And that's the hope springs eternal thing, right? You have a draft and you figure, man, we got so much better. Well, you're hoping that you can be able to get at least a B-plus with these draft picks. I will say that even after this draft, the Bears are still not ready to win yet. They're not, because
Agreed.
It takes more than just a draft to be able to turn things around. You hope you catch lightning in a bottle, but the lightning has to be sustainable. Lightning in a bottle is the one-off that we've seen many times around here, where, hey, guess what? We added a little sprinkle with free agency, a little sprinkle here with the draft, and look what we've done. We're in the playoffs. What about the following year? Oh, you got set back because of injuries or ineptitude. What I'm saying is that this draft was solid, and I look forward to the next draft and the next season, because this draft does not denote to me that the Bears are going to the playoffs this upcoming season. These are building blocks toward that.
Correct. I think it can be both things. Both can be true. Ryan Poles absolutely improved his roster. Ryan Poles absolutely improved his offense. They're still not ready to win. I got the NFL Mike Clay projections where he runs every game for next season post-draft. And he has the Bears ranking 19th in the NFL with 7.7 wins. 7.5 is the over-under in Vegas. So, for me, that's a no bet. None.
That's right.
Because injuries, you're going under. Great health, you're probably going over by a win, maybe two. So he's got them at 7.7. And if he's got the win probability of each game. We'll see how this all shakes out. I like that they're taking and building this thing the right way.
Yeah.
I do not believe he's trying to win right now.
No. And you know how you know that is you look at the free agency and still the money that's left over from free agency. That's one. But two, you look at the needs that were addressed. I like that he was able to address needs. Again, I'm a needs guy when it comes to the draft. If you've got glaring red lights around certain positions that you need to shore up, you definitely try to fill those. And I think that toward the top of the draft, probably after maybe at Roschon Johnson, I think that those are the guys that you look at. Wright, Dexter, Stevenson, Pickens, and Johnson. If you get someone from Sewell, that's great at the linebacker spot. But I just think that if you're building this the right way, Cap, you probably lean toward the under and that win total. I told you before the schedule came out, I felt like the Bears could be a 7-win team. That might be under the 7-7 that you have in front of you. But I think that's pretty fair.
Agreed. You want to hear what he says Justin's going to do? Justin Fields will go 274 for 440, throw for 3,179 yards, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. He'll be sacked 39 times, and he will run for 908 yards. In line with them saying, we don't want him to run for 1,000 yards again. We don't want to have to do that.
That sack total is an improvement.
It is.
It's pretty good from the 55 this past season.
And six touchdowns rushing. Their running game is okay. They've got 683 yards for Herbert, 538 for Dante Foreman, 262 for Roschon Johnson, and 106 for Travis Homer. Receiving is an interesting one because they have DJ Moore, 64 catches for 929 and 7 touchdowns, but not a 1,000-yard receiver for the Bears.
Again, that's part of the growing pains.
Right.
You want to know why they might not go over the 7 is because they incrementally are trying to get better. Like, if you're impressed by this draft, wait until the next draft. If you're impressed by what you saw this offseason, wait until the next offseason, because that's how teams are built. It's very difficult to tank and then go all the way to the Super Bowl on a regular basis, but you like that the Bears are taking a path, taking a lane that we haven't seen before. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Shayla's over the phone lines. Did Ryan Poles show us he's not trying to win right now? Based on everything that you've seen, everything we've told you in the draft, did Ryan Poles show us that he's not trying to win right now? What's your thoughts on the Bears draft? We're talking about it on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Our draft coverage on Cap and J-Hood is brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza. Cap and J-Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. As we talk to you about the Bears draft, it is over now. And so, you know what the Bears have done? We want to find out from you, do you believe that Ryan Poles, did he show us that he's not trying to win now? Now, again, Cap, it's... Before this draft, after this draft, we should know exactly the direction of the Chicago Bears, because Ryan Poles has been very transparent in what he wants to do, saying he told us in Indianapolis at the Combine that he wants to build this thing the right way, meaning that not trying to just spend a whole bunch of money, try to be able to get into the playoffs to only get bounced out because it's not sustainable. If you're going to have a young quarterback, if you're going to have a young head coach, if you have a young general manager, you have no other choice but to try to, again, step by step, being able to get it done and be in the mix every year. I think that's what a fan wants. A fan wants to be able to get it done every, like, hey, do we have a chance to the playoffs this year? Yes. Are we going to make some noise? We'll see. And then if you win the championship, that's even the better. But I just think that this is the slow and steady, methodical way that the Bears are going through this to try to be a perennial playoff team.
So looking at this thing, Houston went the other direction. Now, maybe down in their market with all the Deshaun Watson nonsense and had to fire the team president and the GM reportedly was going to leave and they fired two coaches in 2 years, paid them combined about $35 million. Mm-hmm. So maybe they had to do things like this. But I feel so much better looking at Ryan Poles picking up an extra fourth round pick from Philly, grabbing the offensive lineman that everybody liked, Darnell Wright. Again, please go listen to the Waddle and Silby podcast. His interview on Friday I thought was awesome. And keeping all his picks and more with the trade with Carolina for number one for next year and beyond. Houston went out and paid an insane price. They had the second pick, and then they traded a ton to go from 12 up to 3 so they could get two guys. I'm glad the Bears did not do anything like that and that they kept all their draft capital. As I look at their team, I don't believe they're going to be able to be successful getting home, pressuring the quarterback enough to be a playoff team. I do believe offensively he's improved this thing to where the excuses stop now for the quarterback.
Yeah.
If they're healthy, they should have a vastly improved offensive line. They should have a guy with targets to throw to, whether that's Claypool, Darnell Mooney, or DJ Moore. They got the kid from Cincinnati who's got speed, Cole Kmet and Robert Tonyan. Like, he's got enough now where we can find out, can that guy play or not? Because if he can't, there's a good class of quarterbacks. Defensively, it's better. It's not where it needs to be.
Well, you know what's the most difficult word for a fan to hear? You know the word is? It's patience.
Exactly.
It's very difficult for a fan to hear the word patience because you want it yesterday.
Correct.
You want to see the team, like, because, hey, man, there's no more pace and there's no more Nagy, that automatically means the playoffs. Not necessarily. No. Because if you think that they did a bad job or if they were underachievers, you have to get it that, hey, with Poles in the chair and Eberflus in the chair and this whole new staff, that they want to build this to be a sustainable playoff team. And I'm patient enough to wait for that. Keep in mind, I've only seen a handful of playoffs in my life as a Chicago Bears fan. And a number of seasons in which the Bears made the playoffs where I felt, okay, you made it 1 year. Will you even make it the next year? And that's the thing that's so disappointing. But to tell the average Bears fan, hey, be patient, we're building something. Well, the Cub fan, the White Sox fan, the Hawks fan, the Bulls fan has heard it all before. But I believe that just the way that this team is going about their business, Cap, that it feels different. I was telling you before the show that this whole Bears outfit feels different to me because of the new faces, but the way they're going about their business. And when you hear from Ryan Poles, he's not guaranteeing anything.
Nothing.
And he's transparent, but he's not guaranteeing the Bear fan anything. And he hadn't given me anything. But what I want is for them to be able to go through the season, find out who can play and who can't, find out if you look at closely at Justin Fields, do you feel like he's part of your long-term future? And then go from there. Like, I can't wait for next free agency and can't wait for the next draft to find out what else can they add and see how these young players that they drafted, how they can grow.
Correct. I'd like to see growth offensively from the quarterback. I want to know at the end of next year, that's our guy. We're good. Now I got two picks. Hopefully, Carolina is not a good football team. We have their number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the Bears show improvement, and if they're not a playoff team, then I don't want to win 8 games. I'd rather win 5. Like, remember Theo saying, yeah, if I'm going to win 79 games, I'd rather win 69 and pick a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
And get two really impactful players. Again, Marvin Harrison Jr., he's probably, we're talking about this on the draft on Saturday. I was watching the draft while my wife had me building furniture. God, the people that write those directions are just morons. But I had the draft on, and they said, let's look at Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm like, hang on a second, I got to watch this. The catches this kid makes, contested catches, getting his feet down, and he talked about, on an interview, what his dad has taught him, his dad Marvin Harrison Sr., Hall of Fame receiver, about preparation, how you prepare for games. It's not just go out and catch the football. He's probably going third and maybe higher, depending who's picking, because it's Drake May and Caleb Williams, 1-2-2-1, than this kid. If he's on the Bears with DJ Moore and Chase Claypool and Darnell Moore, oh my God, now your room's at a different level. Defensively, I still think the Bears are a long way away.
Sure, you still need some players for sure. I'm very high on Pickens, the defensive tackle in the third round from South Carolina, and I see Dexter, the defensive tackle from Florida. If you notice, listen to the places, and this is why Poles comes across very smart as a general manager. He might have best players on the board for him to be able to choose, but the programs that they chose from, Tennessee, Florida, Miami, South Carolina, Texas, whatever you think of Cincinnati, Oregon, I think, again, solid programs, pretty good coaches among some of those. And so I just think that, again, you address the needs. Can these guys play? We're going to find out. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. And again, I feel good about what the Bears did overall in the draft, but how does that equate to the regular season? Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. We say hello to Lee Allen, who's joining us on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Good morning, Lee Allen.
My guy!
What's going on, Cap?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, so I want you guys to envision what we have here. You don't need all of that speed off the edge when you have the size and length you do up front. They're going to be able to collapse the pocket consistently. You're going to see formations with Dexter at five technique, Pickens. You're going to see Walker at some. You might have double threes and double fives because of Tremaine Edmonds. So when you can collapse the pocket, you have the best coverage linebackers in football and Edmonds and Edwards, and you probably got the best safety combination in the NFC North. So with the fact that you can score, and if you go look at the games last year, how many games were lost because of one possession? How many games were lost because you couldn't stop the run on the back end? We're going to win the division, and I look forward to how you're going to have to come around to this. And when they win because of what they do up front by collapsing the pocket. Collapsing the pocket means that Kirk Cousins and Goff cannot run. Man. You don't need speed to catch them. You need to be able to collapse the pocket.
Did you say they're going to win the division?
They're going to win the division. They can collapse the pocket. Kirk Cousins cannot run, and neither can Jared Goff. You can collapse the pocket. Stop thinking about cheetahs. Think about orcas hunting seals. You have a front four that can collapse the pocket from the inside out. Gervon Dexter can take a guard at a three technique and put him in the pocket. So can Pickens. We didn't have that last year. You don't have Mike Pinnell on the roster. You don't have Armon Watts on the roster. You don't have Angelo Blackson on the roster. You don't have Al-Qadim Muhammad. That's why those RAS scores are important, because they're going to be able to play through half a man and they're going to be able to collapse the pocket.
Lee Allen. I love you dearly, and I love our debates. They're not winning the division. A, you do need speed on the edge to help collapse the pocket. A. B, they are not anywhere near savvy and veteran enough. All these rookies aren't all rolling in here and collapsing the pocket with regularity. There's some really good football teams around the NFL.
Lee Allen, we appreciate the telephone
Thanks,
call.
Man. Appreciate you.
Cap, I want to ask you about something you said a moment ago about if the Bears could win 8 games and miss the playoffs or 9 games and miss the playoffs, you'd rather win 5 games?
Mm-hmm.
I take issue with that. I don't think that's true. Like, to play devil's advocate, I'm going to use the team that you think is going to win the NFC North, that both of us, frankly, think is going to win the NFC North, is the Detroit Lions. Do you think that they would have taken a 5-win season last year instead of the 9 wins that they got missing the playoffs?
Would they have taken a I don't know. They've been so down for so long. I don't know.
And the Bears haven't?
They also entered the season thinking they could go to the playoffs. The Bears did not.
Yeah,
there was
but
a difference.
We are where they were at the start of last season, no?
No.
I disagree. I think we are where they were at the start of last season. It's actually kind of an eerily similar position. One, the team is better today than it was a year ago today. Much better, actually. Two, yeah, you have questions at quarterback. But three, you're going into a year where you should be better, and you have 2 first-round picks next year. It's basically an identical situation to what happened in Detroit last year. You can't tell me that they would have been happier winning 5 games. Things would be way worse. If the Bears win 5 games next year, there's no way that we're going on the air and saying it's anything other than an abject failure.
All right, we want your response to that coming up next. And we'll also hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager for the Chicago Bears. Shot or no shot at 8 o'clock. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox avoided the sweep yesterday with a 12-9 walk-off victory. 7-run ninth inning comeback and victory. Home series with the Twins starts tomorrow. You can hear it all right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs got swept in Miami over the weekend. They fall to 14-13. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. They'll take on Washington today at 6:05. The President's Trophy curse continues. The Bruins lose 4-3 in overtime in Game 7 to Florida. The Bruins won the most games in NHL history in the regular season. Steph Curry made history yesterday with a 50-point game in Game 7 in their elimination victory against Sacramento. Steph versus LeBron in the Western Conference semis. First playoff meeting since 2018 for the two. Jay Moore.
If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
You can watch our show on YouTube, youtube.com. Look for the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel, and you're right in there. So hit that subscribe button. That way you never miss a show or an interview on our YouTube, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Captain Jay Hood with you here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. It's a Bears Monday for us because we're talking about the Bears and their draft over the weekend. What stood out most? Did you like what the Bears were able to select? Did they fill the bill? They fill the needs as far as the draft is concerned. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. And still to come this segment, we're going to hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Chicago Bears, and his thoughts on some of the things that the Bears are able to accomplish. But let's go back to the conversation just moments ago that Shay threw out there to you regarding the Lions and the Bears and whether or not it's similar.
So looking at the, he says that the Bears are, what'd you say, a year behind the Lions, buddy?
Yeah, I think about a year, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're like 2 years behind the Lions. The Lions have 7 first-round picks on their roster, 7. And when you add in second-round picks contributing, they're north of 12, depending on who makes the team, guys from previous seasons, roughly 12. The Bears don't have anything close to that. We have 2.
Yes.
Darnell Wright and Justin Fields. I'm talking about our own first-round picks, not like Alex Leatherwood who washed out in Vegas. I don't, or you know, guys like that. I'm not counting them. The Bears need to stack another draft class, another free agent period, and then I feel like going into 24, there should be no excuses that you're contending to go to the playoffs.
24, I think, is a great target. And again, we're not slow playing this. I think it's the Bears slow playing this because they just don't want to just go all in 1 year and then all of a sudden it goes backwards. You want something that's sustainable. And for me as a Bears fan,
agreed,
that's what I want too, Cap. Look, I'm happy with some of the things that the Bears did in the draft because to me, you've got to be able to look at this team and say, okay, we got to get a young infusion of talent on this roster. And they were able to do that. I liked what they did as far as free agency as well. And with the linebackers and taking care of the defense there.
I completely agree with you. I like what they did in free agency, and I like that he doesn't have a long-term commitment to an average player. And he said, I'm not going to do it. That they made offers to good players. The kid that's in Seattle, the interior defender, Draymond Jones, mm-hmm. They tried on Mike McGlinchey. It got too rich, and he's like, I'm not going to tie up our cap space for average players. Good player, like to have you. Not at that level. And I'm glad we have a guy. A, I'm glad management has signed off on this. But B, we have a guy who is taking a long-term approach, period.
We don't want to confuse the National Football League with, say, the NBA, where you get like this, you know, 2 or 3 different guys on the team and you reimagine your ball club and somehow you get a chance to sneak into the play-in. I don't think the NFL works that way. I think that, yes, you do have extra wild cards, but I'm actually okay looking at 24 as a goal. That tells you this upcoming season will tell you everything that you need to know about Justin Fields and how he could be able to work with new weapons offensively. Either it's going to succeed or it's not. But this upcoming season, which I believe will be a non-playoff season, will tell you all you need to know. Because there are no more excuses after this, right? We try to fix this offensive line. It's not going to be right, but it'll be better than it was last year. Even the numbers you gave us tell us that it won't be as bad as 55 sacks.
Correct.
So then from there, looking at the weapons that the Bears have, trying to improve on the running game by getting Johnson. You got Herbert and Foreman in the room. You got Darnell Mooney along with DJ Moore, along with Chase Claypool. Cole Kmet getting, even better for this upcoming season.
Yep.
Okay, so there you go, Justin. This is the best we could do for you right now. What can you do with the weapons we have around you?
The other thing is, Yurko said, I think it was to Sylvie, but I could be wrong. Yurko said to somebody here, not only do you need to add talent, these guys have to learn how to be pros and how to win.
Gotta learn how to win, yeah.
It is not just we drop a button. That's what I was trying to say to Lee Allen. Yeah. Jervon Dexter and the kid from South Carolina and the corner from Miami. These are really nice prospects. Look, it's going to take them time.
We're not going to tell anybody how to fan. If Lee Allen feels that this team is destined to be the best team in the NFC North, you go right ahead. Because every fan should expect for the team to be the best that it can be. That, I mean, that's your expectations, right? Season ticket holder, emotional or financial investment in the team, Cap. You want to be able to root for your team and hope that they can get to the top. But also you have to look at it realistically. I always look at the Bears based on what's in the North. Then I look at the Bears and what's based on the NFC. Then I look at the Bears and what's based on the entire National Football League. Then I look at the Bears based on the last Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. And then you look at your team and look at that and you go, oh, we're not that good.
Right.
Because, again, all it is just opening your eyes, watching games, or reading.
Correct.
It's all there. I mean, again, if you care to believe, then and understand, like, hey, look at the Kansas City Chiefs and look at the Bears. Look at the Eagles and look at the Bears. Right? And then it's like, oh, so this is what happens when we're a non-playoff team. When the playoffs are on, the average Bear fan goes, oh, that's what it takes to win. Oh, that receiver. Oh, that quarterback. Oh, that offensive line. Oh, but that defense is stout. Yeah, that's what it takes.
Right. Like our wide receiver, I was debating with our friend Lee Allen yesterday about the wide receiver room, and he loves the wide receiver room and how much better it's gotten. And he said to me, fastest, biggest wide receiver room in the NFC. No, not so much. I disagree with him. If you want to talk about the best wide receiver rooms in the NFC, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
Pretty damn good in Philly. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. Pretty damn good in San Francisco. Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson, K.J. Osborne in Minnesota. Pretty damn good. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Noah Fant in Seattle. Pretty damn good. I like that we're getting better.
Sure.
I really like that our general manager is saying, I can't fix everything in one off season, and I'm not going to try because I want that space next off season.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Some thoughts from Ryan Poles. Concern of not fortifying the defense.
Yeah, I think I talked about that before. You know, I think you want to fix everything immediately, but it's got to work the right way. The right players got to be there that fit our scheme. They want to be here. So we can't fix everything at a high level in one swoop. So we are aware of our strengths and weaknesses, and we're going to be opportunistic. That's why we've done what we've done, and we still have flexibility to do what we need to do to improve in different areas. And if that's the area that we improve moving forward, we do. Opportunity doesn't open up, then we'll just continue to what we're doing. But there's also drafts next year, and we've set ourselves up nicely for that too.
Brian and Kenosha on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Brian.
Oh, gentlemen, I got so much to say.
What's up?
Here it is, guys. Here it is. The idea, Cap, I don't want to pick on you too much. I don't want to come too hot on this take. But the idea that you're going to say that they would rather have the 5 wins than the 9 and that, oh, the Lions, if they would have had 5 wins
last year,
I
didn't say 9. I said 8.
You'd rather have 5 wins than 9 wins. Okay.
If they're not a playoff team, yeah, I'd rather get the highest pick so I can try and get Marvin Harrison Jr., or if I have to get a quarterback, get the best guy.
I hear you, but here's the thing. To say they're not like the Lions or that they're 2 years behind the Lions, if the Lions, when they were 0-6 last year, Dan Campbell would have been fired if they would have finished with only 5 wins. The idea, the NFL is set up now for teams to have a quick turnaround. The Bears are going to have an easier schedule this year. The idea, they already added pieces in. And the biggest key thing is, which I think we all agree on, the Bears have a competent front office now. And when you have a competent front office, you can make that quicker turnaround. And then the fact that you came back from break with this crazy logic that, well, they have more first-round draft picks. First-round draft picks only hit on 50% of the time to begin with. The Bengals, my beloved Bengals, at one time had their entire defensive backfield was first-round draft picks, and they couldn't make it past the first round of the playoffs. So this idea that that's the logical argument that you're going to present to support what you're saying, that's crazy that you're going to count first-round draft picks. That is not a good argument to support what you're saying. I think he, the
he
Bears.
Leans, he leans it, right. He leans toward the under because he likes Marvin Harrison and Junior. And I would just say that, you know, ultimately, if the Bears are going to get better, yeah, you want to get younger in some spots, but free agency matters also. Difference makers in free agency, because that pushes you over the top.
Definitely, I would totally agree, and I think they have a competent front office now. I am not here to say that I think the Bears are going to win the division. I think that's a little crazy, but I think it's not crazy for us to think, in the current model of the NFL, it's not crazy to think that the Bears could end up contending for the division. Now, could they also end up with four wins and that's it? They totally could end up that way, too. That could be a real thing. And if that is a real thing, I think Eberflus is probably on the hot seat looking at losing his job if the Bears only win four games next year.
Yeah, I disagree with you on the Eberflus thing, and thanks for the call, Brian. Have a great week. Ryan made it clear when we were in Indy, I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air, where he said, I needed a partner who understood how long this journey was going to take. And he said, Matt has been lockstep with everything Ryan wants to do. Now, do I think he's coaching in Arlington Heights like you so perfectly put it the day he got hired? No, probably not. That's like 7 years away. Probably the odds say he won't be. But whatever happens next year in his second season, I don't think that affects his job status, because he knew what he was signing up for.
I'm not saying that it pulls his line about that, but that is an easy thing to say before a five-win season. Like, if things go south, Poles may have said that with the hope that we see marked improvement this year. Like, if they go out there and Fields is great and they still only win four or five games, somebody's responsible for that. If they go out there and Fields just isn't the guy, then Fields is probably the one who ends up on the hot seat, if not gone, and Eberflus is still here. If they go out, Fields is great, they only win three, four games, Cap, somebody's going to answer
for
that.
Well, if Fields is great, they're going to great. They're going to win more than three or four football games. I think they're winning more than that.
You see the point I'm making. No matter what, if they have a very bad year and they're picking at the top of the draft, somebody's going to be held accountable.
Yeah. Is Ryan Poles happy about what the Bears have at defensive line? Also, thoughts about the running game from the Bears from Poles, and more of your phone calls coming up. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Cap and Jay Hood is on ESPN 1000, also on 100.3 FM HD2.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We got Shot or No Shot coming away at 8 o'clock. As we talk to you about the Bears in the draft, 312-332-3776 is our phone number. I'm very interested, Cap, in the defense. You mentioned to start the show that you weren't necessarily enamored with some of the picks they made defensively. I have circled on my list Dexter and Pickens as guys that I think could help.
No, I didn't say I didn't like the picks they made. I'm concerned he did not address the edge. He talked about that. You played it where you can't fix everything. I do like, and Alex Brown, being a Florida guy, said this Jervon Dexter can absolutely play. They just are going to use him in a different way than he was used at Florida. The kid Pickens at South Carolina. The corner has rave reviews from Miami. Okay, let's get on the field. Let's see now.
So Dexter played in a 4-3 scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I like players that are flexible, that are versatile, where it's like, yeah, if you need me at 3 technique, I can do that. I also do a 1 technique too. So he can line up in front of almost anybody in the offensive line. So yeah. I like that.
Again, let's just put these seeds into the grass, water it well, and let's see where it grows.
What about Sewell? You mentioned him. What do you think of it? Like, I like the pedigree.
We got Penei Sewell.
Noah Sewell.
I know, his brother.
Just as good.
Yeah.
You know, if he'd had a good season last year, things went a little sideways at Oregon. He was a first-round projection. So if you get things back on track, you picked up a guy who could have been a first-round talent late in the draft.
I would agree, Shay, because, and again, we talk about versatility again, Cap. He could play 4-3 or 3-4, Sewell. But Shay is right. His production slipped last year. Missed a lot of tackles last year. So they probably look at the totality of the tape and is like, yeah, we can fix him.
Right.
And we trust the last name.
Correct.
So I like that, right?
It's cool.
Yeah.
You take a shot and see what happens. You're not going to hit on every draft pick. No one does. But you get as many good players in there, and let's see what happens. Sink or swim.
Pohl says he's fine going north. That's a baseball term.
Yeah.
He's fine going to training camp. Going north is going from Arizona to
correct.
Chicago or Florida to Chicago. Yeah,
correct.
He's good with the defensive line in camp.
Camp's a long ways away, so we'll stay on our toes. And if something presents itself, we'll be able to do that. We can do it financially as well.
How about that running back, Rashawn Johnson?
Yeah, I think he increases the competition in the running back room. But the cool thing about him is if you watch Texas tape, he does a lot. Pass protects really well. That stands out. He's done some quarterback stuff. He came out, you know, of high school as a quarterback. So this is going to allow our offensive staff to maybe do some really cool things with him and keep a defense on their toes.
Tinley Park, here's Ron on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Ron.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, Ron? How are you, man?
It's a Bears Monday, Ron. Let's go.
Yes, sir. You know, we had this conversation, I think, a few months ago, and I'm going to go back by it again. The Bears absolutely could make the playoffs this year. Absolutely, because of its huge parity, the extra game, so forth. But after the draft and after everything that Poles has done, I'm standing by it. Because I looked at the schedule. I mean, you can't tell me that they can't beat Washington. They can't beat Carolina. They can't beat Tampa. They can't beat the Saints. They can't get a couple games in a division. You know, that's almost 8 games right there.
Well, where did you have them before last season? And be honest, because everyone was calling here yelling at me, they're going to beat the Jets on the road and the Giants on the road and the Falcons on the road, and they lost all of them.
Okay, they did. But if you look at those games, at least 75%, they were right there, even with an atrocious defense. They were right there by 8 points, 6 points. They were right there. So you can't just tell me that automatically they're not going to make the playoffs.
All right. Well, you know what? You might be right, Ron.
So I hope you're right.
So let's do this. Shay, let's do this. Let's go through the exercise. Ready? Okay. So as I mentioned to you before, I always look at the Bears based on the conference and then the league based on the roster composition. All right, here we go, Cap. Philadelphia, playoffs this upcoming season?
Yes.
Dallas?
Yes.
Giants?
Probably.
Giants? Probably.
Probably.
Okay. Get three. Tampa?
No.
Carolina?
Probably not.
Saints?
Yes. Somebody's winning that division.
So it's just Saints. Okay. San Francisco?
Yes.
Seattle?
Yes.
Rams?
No.
Cardinals?
No.
Okay. NFC North? Packers?
No.
Lions?
Yes.
Vikings?
Yes.
Okay. How many is that?
That's 8.
Where are the Bears fit in that?
They don't.
I'm a no on the Vikings.
Yeah. And the Bears get in there, right?
That's
in that slot.
That's a quick.
No, I'm not saying the Bears too, but
to a 13-win team.
How many times we got to go through this? They had a negative point differential. For Christ's sake, they're not turning the trick again.
Okay,
it's good enough for them to make the playoffs, though. It won't be 13 wins, but again, I will shave.
I mean, are you telling me they're going to lose half of those games now?
No,
I'm telling
won't.
You, they ain't going 11-1 in one score games. Is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, it won't be 13 wins, but I'm shaving.
So
off,
maybe they win 9 or 10.
I'm shaving off 3 or 4 just based on the new head coach.
I mean, if they regress to average in one score games, they're probably losing 4 wins.
Yeah.
Okay. There's still a 9-win team that probably gets them.
Wins missed the playoffs in a lot of divisions last year.
Nine wins are still better than the Bears. So that's how that
could be.
Or give me that wild card, right? And again, it's still early, Shay, but you can give me that extra team that's like that comes out of nowhere. That wouldn't be the Rams or the Cardinals. That would not be the Commanders. Packers?
Oh God.
If the Packers make if the Packers make the playoffs.
Oh God. You'll go streaking down State Street?
No, that's for New Orleans. I will puke.
I would say, I could see it with Washington before I could see it with Green Bay. Honestly.
You could see what?
Playoffs. Improvement to a playoff caliber with Washington before I could see it with Green Bay. And I'm not telling you I see it with Washington. I'm telling you I don't see it with Green Bay.
I don't either, unless Jordan Love is
exciting and new.
Like, really good.
Yeah.
Like, what?
See, that. But again, you heard our last caller. Like, no doubt they're going to make the playoffs. Then we went through, like, the real teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
That's why you take a pause, and it's not being negative. It's just looking at the rest of the NFL and look at their veteran quarterback or their veteran players, their stars. And we're just waiting for those stars to come. We don't even have four pillars on the Bears yet. That's why you look at it and say, 24, here we come.
Weren't the Bears 2-1 last year to start the season?
Yeah.
Okay. It means they've gone 1-13.
Yes, sir.
That's tough to turn around in one offseason.
Well, you have to remember, too, they did make a decision at the, what were they, 3-4? And at that point, they made the decision to get rid of Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith and say, we're going to be bad. And they still had to have some wonky things happen to lose a lot of those games.
Yeah, but they had both those guys the year before, and they still were only a 6-win team.
Yeah, they had a... I'm not going to use the word Cap doesn't like, but they had a black head coach.
A bum head coach.
That's right. They had a bum head coach.
We don't know if the guy we have can coach yet.
Say it, Shay. Say it with your chest, man. Don't be sheepish.
But, Cap, that's my point. All the time we talk about we don't know. If these guys are who we hope they are, this team better be good. If they're not who we hope they are, then, yeah, it's going to stink. But at some point, you got to hold somebody accountable for this stuff.
All depends on what you call good. I say four wins better than last year. That's a step in the right direction.
Oh, if they add four wins, that is a wildly successful trajectory you're on. That means they win seven games.
I've always said 7 wins for me is the floor. I'm happy with 7.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Let's do it!